Blog Talk Radio.
I pray to you, God, whom I call Allah, that you connect our hearts as one and grant us like-mindedness to be able to move forward in a manner that will unify us on one accord, to honor our ancestors, respect our elders, and properly educate our children, strengthen our families, and rebuild our community.
Welcome, everybody. Here another Wednesday. I'd like to thank you all for taking the time and the busy day. Today, I'm going to speak about something that this morning, like this will be the first time I've actually spoken about today is controversial. And people have different outlooks about it. And it's been known to separate. However, I still feel the need to speak about that topic today, which is religion. Me, I understand that religion is based on not really being absolutely sure about something. However, it's more about faith. And with faith. And with faith, it's difficult for some people more so than others. Some people are able to live. I believe that faith is based on believing in something, even though the evidence don't show that that thing can actually happen. With that being said, I also believe that there's a higher power, something that created this entire universe, and that same power created us. There's a lot of individuals who say that they don't believe in God. And with that, I say, okay, why don't you believe in God? And they, most of them say, well, I don't see God. So how can I believe in something that I don't see? And when I hear that, normally a response for me is, you don't see air, but you breathe it. You don't see your internal organs, such as your heart and your lungs, but somehow you know they exist. You know they're there. So me, my personal belief is Islam. And I believe in Islam in a manner that we believe in angels, I believe in the hellfire, and I believe in paradise. So with believing in the hellfire and paradise, that means that I don't believe that it's automatically given to an individual. I know a lot of times when, you know, when someone passes away, we normally say they're in heaven. However, you know, when you read the two books that I've read, is the Bible and the Quran, it says that there's a day of resurrection, which means that everybody, for my understanding, is that everybody is dormant into that day of resurrection. However, Islam, it says that your deeds, based on while you're here, whether they're good or bad, will determine how you live after being buried, how you will be in your grave. And either you will be able to lay in your grave and see paradise and be in comfort, or you'll lay in your grave and be able to see the hellfire. There's a saying in Islam that if a man or a woman saw the hellfire or paradise, they would never sin. And it says that if a man or woman is able to control their tongue and their private parts, they will be able to get into paradise. Those two things are, from my understanding of that quote, are the two main things that causes people to go astray, causes people to miss the objective of going into paradise. The reason I'm speaking about this is because I think we need to impart more of this to the children, to the younger people, to let them know that, you know, they rush into death. However, none of us actually know. We believe we don't know because there's no documentation, although it's been said that Jesus died and came back to life, but it's really no documentation to say, okay, what was it like? How, you know, where, you know, is it this way? Is it that way? We also have people who had close encounters with death and came back and said, oh, they saw this, they saw that. I believe that if you choose a religion, the religion should be able to allow you to live a better life. It should be able to help you become a better person, help you become a better father, mother, daughter, individual. For me, praying five times a day allows me to keep in mind that there's a higher power, and it also allows me to be able to have a discipline to be able to make those five prayers a day. Also, we have what we call Ramadan, where you fast 30 days. And with those 30 days, you go from dawn to dusk. And you don't eat, drink, curse, gossip, none of these things that you do in your daily life, smoke cigarettes, all of the things that you do on a daily basis, that days you restrain from. And that creates a self-discipline that many of us need, some of us more so than others. And it also allows me to have empathy for those who are unable to eat. It's a blessing, especially in nowadays with the prices super high, to be able to just eat. And we take for granted a lot of things that we have that access to. Like just waking up in the morning is a blessing. Just being able to move about through the day is a blessing. And many of us, you know, I believe are thankful, and some of us don't even think about it. However, a lot of our actions as individuals, the way that we treat each other, and many of us claim a particular religion. Because of our actions, we have those who are thinking about claiming some type of religion turn away completely because of the way we represent that religion, the way that we interact with each other, the way we make a particular person feel. And if we believe that there's a divine power that has mercy and forgiveness towards us, how come we are not able to show that same mercy and same forgiveness towards each other? I think crucial. Whatever I speak on when it comes to this show is basically to bring us closer, to give us a clear understanding of ourselves and our environment, and hopefully allow us to be able to and live in a manner that's healthy, wholesome, and uplifting to others. I think it's extremely important to be able to do this, especially in these days and times where there's so much hardship, so much discard, disconnection, so much murder, so much jealousy. All of these things are attributes of, Satan, the evil. You know, because if there's good and evil, then there has to be, then if there's hellfire, then we believe that there's a devil. And I think if people believed in that, believe that we have to earn a position, we would interact better, treat each other better. We would maneuver on this earth better. I mean, in this country, it says in God we trust. However, a lot of the things that's going on in this country is contrary to whether we trust God. And it's contrary to, you know, for those who read the Bible, it's contrary to the Bible. And in both the Bible and the Quran, it speaks about the hypocrite, the one who says they believe, but in their heart they don't. The one who acts want to live right, but behind closed doors, they're doing other things. And sure, no one is perfect. But the goal is, I would imagine, is to strive to be close to perfect as your individuality would allow you to be. And if anybody's listening and like to give a response, we're open to it. If not, we'll continue on. The major thing about religion is to be, in my view, is to be consistent with things, because a religion is being able to do something over and over again. However, whether some people realize it or not, and I've said this to people, that you can get caught up and your religion can become getting high. Your religion can become chasing women, chasing men. That can become your religion. That could be something, because it's something that you do on a daily basis. It's something you go to sleep, wake up, and yes, call.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you today?
All right, and you?
I'm good.
Yeah, that's a good topic that you got tonight. About religion. As far as about, like you said, about young people going to church, I always question that also. Ministers always say, oh, we got to get young people in the church. We need to invite them. They really need to be here. They need help. But yet, churches don't realize that they have a clique. They have a clique. They also will come in. They don't want them to be a part of anything. They might want to join something. They don't want to move over and let somebody young in, because they still want to be in that same position. And I say that you're opening your doors to certain people, but you have to be willing to let them in and do something new. But the time we're living in now, everybody wants to just hang on to old situations instead of moving forward to get attention of younger people. I think a lot of ministers are not out forward about being correct. We live in a time that you should be real about anything people doing now, because it's out there. And you should be able to touch on that and be real about it, because when you cover it up, you only allow people to be able to live and feel it's okay what they're doing. I think that you should be accountable for what you're teaching people, because you're ahead and you're supposed to be the one giving knowledge out, but you withhold the knowledge because you don't want to lose someone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree with you. It appears that churches have become more of a business than a place of worship and a place of sanctuary. It's they're more concerned with, you know, the dollars and you know, the prestige, it appears, than guidance and saving souls and you know, helping the society the way it once was, as you said, and when, you know, years ago, the church was like the heart of the community. However, now, because they're individuals who want to hold on to the old guard and not release it, as you said, they're turning away individuals who would possibly be able to bring a whole new view, a whole new generation into the church, as well as the mosque as well. It's you know, it's a lot of different things that individuals who get in particular places, they still carry a lot of the old baggage. They are not able to let go some of the me, you know, the me aspect, the part where it's not about me, it's about when, you know, when I look at Jesus you know, just the name, just us, just us coming together, you know, and as well as justice, and justice being able to be penalized or rewarded for one's actions or deeds, you know. And I think a lot of the way things are today, a lot of the young people don't understand that there's penalties and reward, and, you know, we say consequences, that they have consequences. They don't really get that because I don't think it's been made clear to some of them. And when we were coming up, that was made clear. That was made clear that, look, there's good and bad, there's right and wrong. So you have a choice to make when you're out here in society, when you're out here in life. If they understood that better, I think they would make better choices, especially when it comes to murders, when it comes to just murdering someone. You know, you have, and also when it comes to doing crimes, like a lot of them individuals do crimes, but they don't want to face the consequences of going to jail. So they start telling and, you know, oh, this one did that, this one did that. That's a consequence of the lifestyle that you live. You get caught up and jail is a part of it. You know, take it like a man. Unfortunately, that's not happening. You know, it's got as young guys out here, they pull them guns quick. But they don't want to go to prison. They rather die. They're more satisfied dying than going to prison. What do you think about that?
Yes, it's very sad that, like you said, have a choice, and they make a decision, they commit a crime. And then when they get locked behind bars and realize they can't go home until society lets them out. So what they do, then they start reading, and the first thing they read is the Bible. And then they start changing, and they start talking about God and His Son, which is a good thing. It's always good to bring God and His Son into your life. But the choice was before you committed the crime. And then that way you wouldn't have to wait for to be introduced to God, because you already free out here, and that's the choice that you should make. And like you said, growing up, we were made to go to church when we was growing up, our age group. The kids nowadays are not made to go to church. They watch their parents get dressed up and go on Sunday and come back, and they're still home playing their game or in the street or, you know, whatever they choose to do. Now, when I was, my kids were growing up, even when they became teenagers, I told them once a month you had to go to church. I don't care what you do, but once a month you had to go. And if they felt like they wanted to go more, it was all well and good. But I felt like if God wakes you up every day, God makes sure everything is okay with you, you should give Him your listening ear and go and sit there and listen about the person that not only wakes you up, but gives you the air to breathe to make you a living soul. And you're right. It's not enough of that. But if we look around in your town, every block has a church. Every block has a church. But it's only certain people going into the church. But yet God reigns on everybody every day. Everybody gets the same thing from God every day. But yet, when the doors are open, it's only certain people that goes in to church. I've been to quite a few churches in my lifetime, and I'm still searching, you know what I mean? But God is omniscient in my life. But I just think that every time I go, like we were just talking about a few minutes ago, is that you find out that it's a certain group that the church leans on And you, if you don't fit in, then you just there. The minister, he goes along with a certain little group, and he don't want to hurt their feelings, so he don't go out of his comfort zone. He preaches to them, and whatever they say and how they want him to preach, that's what he preach. And when has the church become man's? The church belongs to God. It doesn't belong to human beings. But we have made it that, you know, it belongs to humans. And that's why people go around and praise God on Sunday, and then as soon as Monday they wake up, they are saying and doing things that don't even contradict with what they just learned that Sunday. That's what I'm saying. Like, people got to really decide that if you really want to change and have God as your complete person to walk you through this journey that we call life, then you have to change a little bit every day. For example, I decided that whatever my life was in 22, I wasn't going to bring it to 23. So I started a little bit. Like, so what I did on my job, I start putting more into it than just sitting back and letting everybody else not doing nothing. I said, well, I don't want to be like that. So every day I try to do something better of my company. You know what I'm saying? Because like you said, it shows people that if I am going to say I'm a Christian, they can see that I'm showing love, not just for myself, for the people around me. You know, that's what we have to do. We have to start showing people that if we are a Christian and we love God, where is it? Where is it at? Where is it at in Patterson? We dump on everything. We trash it up. We drive any type of way. We talk to people any kind of way. The business don't care about nobody besides making money. When are we going to start showing that respect?
Absolutely. I agree. It's unfortunate that we as human beings have the self-preservation mode. However, that self-preservation turns into selfishness. We all need to preserve ourselves, because if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to take care of anyone else. However, many of us get caught up in it's all about us. It's not, you know, we're not concerned with, you know, being our brother or sister's keeper or helper. We as human beings have to work on. This is a thing that is not even cultural to one race. This is people in general that are so selfish and inconsiderate to others, where this country, and I would gather to say from places that I visit outside this country, this world needs to put God, whatever way, even if it's Buddhism, even if it's Islam, if it's Judaism, whatever you choose and however you choose to worship, allow it to, as you said, make you a better individual, make you a more approachable individual, allow it to each day shed something that is negative and add something that is positive that will help you grow and help those around you grow and help leave this planet better than when you came here. I think if each individual on Earth had that type of mentality, we could really have peace on Earth. However, because it's life the way it is, and there's a good and a bad, and we all have good and bad in us, And that major battle is within ourselves. And many times we give in to our higher part. You know, we all have lower aspirations and higher aspirations, and we allow the lower aspirations to control us, such as having a good time, having, you know, sex, getting high all the time, you know, just different little things that distract us from being the best we can be. We, as you said, with your job, you made a choice. You made a choice that this year that you wanted to be better. If individual and does it, not just say it, because many people say it when the new year come in, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And when the new year comes in, they go back to what they were doing the year before. And another thing you mentioned is when a person goes to prison, a person goes to jail, there's many individuals who are Muslim. And when they go to prison, they get on their deen. They start making their prayers, they fast, you know, they're studying, they're going to Juma on Friday, they're doing everything that is required of them when they're incarcerated. However, when they come home, what we call the dunya is the world. They're so distracted by the worldly life where they're unable to continue. Those five prayers is a foundation. Those five prayers allow you to keep remembrance of your Lord. You remember Allah, whom we, you know, that's who we call God as Muslims. That because you have to make those, it's obligatory for you to make those five prayers. So no matter what you're doing, where you at, even if you're unable to make them, say that you're traveling in the car, you're driving, and it's time to make prayer, at least your mind will go on, oh, I'm supposed to be making prayers. And when you're thinking about making the prayers, you're thinking about God. Now, this is the true meaning of putting God first. You know, a lot of individuals say, look, put God first. I don't think some people even know what put God first really means. It means think about how God is going to look at what you're doing before you actually do it. Is God going to be pleased with what you're doing, how you're acting, how you're speaking before you actually do it? If you do that, then everything else will work itself out. The other thing that, yes, caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, this is Miles. How you doing, my brothers?
All right, how are you?
I'm doing good. I was, you know, listening to what you're saying, but what really bothers me, like when these brothers go to prison, you know, they go to prison, they're willing to read, write, and all that stuff in there, but they won't do it when they're on the street. It's just sad that you go to prison, then you end up doing stuff like that, but you won't do it when you're out in the public. And another thing that bothers me, too, is like the kids in the street today. You know, because I know when I was growing up, man, I did something wrong. My neighbors would bust my behind. I got home, I got another behind whooping. Discipline. But see, now that these single parents, this is another thing that's killing our kids, too, because you try your best to teach them the right thing at home. But when they go out in them streets with their friends and stuff, that peer pressure, man, is rough on them. And, you know, like, and what I don't understand, like, these kids come home, their parents see these kids, like, 14, 15 years old, he got on Nikes, gold chains, but he ain't got a job. Where's he getting that stuff from? You didn't give it to them. Somebody gave it to them, but they overlook it. It's hard for a woman to try to raise a boy into a man.
Absolutely.
And the thing about, like I said, about the prison, like you said, I got a nephew. He's in prison now. They was going to give him a plea bargain, you know, tell what happened, and he walked. He told him no. So he got a 30-year bid. And we said, why? He said, no, because I knew what I was doing when I got caught up in the game. You know, if you're going to do the crime, you got to do the time.
Okay.
And he manned up. He said he knew what he was doing, and he knew what he'd get caught, what can happen to him. And,
right.
I respect him for that because that's his choice.
Right. And that's rare nowadays. That's rare. Nowadays, that's rare.
Yeah, I know a lot of brothers go to prison. I said, why you got to go to prison to change your life? Why you can't do it out here? You know, they got libraries. They got places you can go. You go to prison, all of a sudden you're going to be a weightlifter. You want to be in the gym lifting weights. You want to be on a boxing team. You want to be in a library and all that. Yeah, I'm in prison now and this and that. Oh, I'm a Muslim. You're a Muslim now. But all that freedom in the street, you don't take advantage of it. You disrespect it. That's the way I look at it.
Yes, it's unfortunate, Brother Miles, because the key word that you said is discipline. A lot of individuals don't have self-discipline when it comes to being out here. They only are able to, you know, maneuver in a manner when they're in a controlled environment. Times that come from growing up and not getting structure. Growing up in a family without structure. And that's an important thing because part of the family, as a family, we as individuals, it's, as you said, it's more women raising children than it are men and women. And even when the man knows those are his children, and sometimes it's because the man and the woman haven't been able to put their own selves aside and focus on what's best for the children. A lot of times in situations, one person wants to end the relationship and another person wants to keep the relationship. So in those cases, the person who wants to keep the relationship has an attitude that, oh, if I can't be with you, I ain't taking care of the children. Children have nothing to do with you and the mother or the father doing.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It has nothing, and that's something that we have to work on getting individuals aware and holding them accountable for that, because it's happening far too often where the children are suffering. And even when a woman meets a man, she doesn't require that he interact with her children, then that becomes a problem. Or she picked the wrong individual that is being a bad example for her children. So those are the things that are happening in our communities that we have to address, and we have to address in a manner where we able to make a change in there. And there are several ways. Religion is one way, you know.
Right.
Speaking on family is another way. And then the third way, which, you know, I'm going to start working on, has a great influence over the younger people. And because what is happening in the hip-hop culture, where it's being utilized as a tool to mislead the young people rather than to uplift the young people, it has to be clarified And individuals have to be aware that a rapper and what a rapper does is not hip-hop culture. What a rapper does is his own interpretation of what he believes hip-hop is just him as an individual. And the way that they have it now is they have it as, okay, you got these guys who in gangs, you got these guys who have guns, you got these guys who have chains, and they do this, and they do certain things, and they put these guys on pedestals, and they show them to our young people, and they tell them, this is hip-hop. You know, I had my grandson told me that, you know, having guns and taking pictures with guns and all that, that's what rap is about. Because he's misinformed. He's misinformed because those of us who were around when hip-hop began are not telling the story of hip-hop. Hip-hop started off entertainment one. Also, it was a means to be able to utilize what's going on around you, not just one particular thing.
And right.
There was many things going on around you. It was also a means of expressing what you would like to see going on around you. You know, so it had different facets. And there were individuals who didn't wear gold. So all rappers didn't wear gold. So it's a preference. It's a preference. So what we have to bring back is let individuals know that what you see is a preference. It's not pertain that because you like this rapper, this is what hip-hop as a culture is about. No, this is what this individual who happens to represent hip-hop as a culture, that's what they're about. And that's what we have to make clear.
Yeah, because you know that the hip-hop today, man, when they call these girls B's and H's and all that stuff and walking around with their pants hanging off them, and then they go on Facebook with these guns, like, they don't think, don't you realize the feds and stuff watching all that stuff? Then you go out there and rap about it. I just don't understand what happened between then and now. It's just like, it's a money thing for most of the rappers now. They want to make that money. You're riding around. Over here in Patterson, the crazy thing about here in Patterson, we got drug dealers who live in the projects. And they got Mercedes and BMW sitting in the parking lot and wondering why the cops chasing at them.
Right.
What you doing in a project with a Mercedes Benz? You must be doing something wrong. And the kids see that. You're right. They see that and they glorify that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And unfortunately, they equate drug dealers as a part of hip-hop because a lot of rappers emulated themselves after the drug dealers. That's where the chains and that's where the cards and all that came from. That was from the drug dealers. Those are the ones who they took the culture and sit it around and say, well, this is what the rapper does. No, that's what the drug dealer does. You know, so we as individuals who have the knowledge of it, as I said, we have to clarify that. And I just recently started really focusing on that because, as you said, it's been happening over the years. And each year it's getting worse and worse. And it's a culture that was created by us. In 1973, and the culture has evolved where it went from just, you know, enjoying yourself, a dress, a way of dress, a way of expressing yourself, you know, and also means hip hop means to get hip to a way of life that is unhealthy and hop up out of that life. And that's the other part that many of them don't understand, because it's not being promoted properly for the reasons that we see around us. Because if it's promoted properly, it can be a vehicle that can change the circumstances and the way that we look at ourselves and the way that other people see us. You were speaking on, having cars, this, that, and the other. There's a young rapper that, and being on the internet and you posting guns and this and that and rapping about it, they have a young man now, Young Thug. They have him hemmed up. You know what I mean? They have him hemmed up because a lot of the individuals with him, they turned state. So now they're using his lyrics as evidence to indict him. So with that being said, they have took what he represents and say, look, this is your culture. This is your way of life. This is how you live it. Only because he lived the lifestyle and he was living. Rather than if you're speaking about the lifestyle, you're living a lifestyle totally different than what you're speaking about.
Exactly.
And that's the unfortunate thing, that a lot of the individuals are being manipulated, brainwashed, and led to pick a character as a rapper and then start living that character throughout their life. And that's where the demise is coming in. It's one thing to rap about this, that, for entertainment. It's another thing to live it after you get off of that mic.
And when they see... I was just saying, like, you're right, because, like, society look at us now, and as every black person they see, something, they're a gangster or they're a criminal. Even when you walk across the street, people pull up at the stop sign, you hear them put their locks on the car. You go in these stores, and I go to the mall, they watching every second, every move you make. I'm like, gee, man, I work for a living. But they don't see that. They see a black man, he must be up.
Right. Yeah. It's unfortunate. And however, there's too many of us who are playing into the stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
They're promoting a stereotype, and then they're upholding that stereotype. In reality, there's more of us doing the right thing than the wrong thing. But because we're not in control of the media, we're being portrayed as the majority of us is doing the wrong thing. You know, so and they're targeting the youth. If you destroy the youth of any culture, you destroy the people. So
exactly right.
Yeah. So the reality of what we have to do is we have to, as I was saying, even with religion, religion is a part of our life. We have to be able to put ourselves aside. And no matter what we get into between the man and the woman, our responsibility and our duty is to raise them children to the best of our ability. That's what's not happening. That's what's where we are lacking at.
Yeah, you made a point about that too, with the man and the woman. They be mad at each other, and the kids are the ones suffer from it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's unfortunate, but it's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends up becoming a nightmare for the child, you know? And it becomes a nightmare for our community, because the child, or what happens to the male child is the male child had animosity because his father wasn't in his life. So if he grows up with animosity, he already had a semi-hatred for another male. which make it easier for him to pull that trigger when it's time to pull that trigger, because he hadn't really built a strong emotional bond with any males. His only bonds have been with females, women. So he don't know how to build a bond with a male. And that's what's causing the, you know, the cycle of and the ease of being able to murder each other. You know, and then another thing that I see that I've used the word, you know, and we've made excuses for the word nigger. And we say nigger, whatever way we use it, we've made excuses to say that it's a term of endearment. However, it's similar to using the B, calling a woman a B. Using that word can be a term of endearment, depends on who uses it and the energy or the intention behind the word. They're, like, women can call each other that and they can laugh and joke. A man can call a woman that and it's derogatory. The same thing with using niggas. My thing is, I still remember a time when I was growing up, I used it, and then there's a time when I got robbed. And when the cat pulled the gun on me, he was like, give me your jewelry, nigga. You know what I'm saying? So I internalized that he has been able to say, give me your jewelry, brother. You know? I internalized that to say, okay, if you would have looked at me as your brother rather than a nigger, would you even rob me? You know? So that's my thought about using that word, and it's another thing that is contributed to hip hop as the culture. People saying, look, this is a part of the culture. No, this is a part of individuals that happen to represent the culture. And that's what we have to differentiate between the individuals who represent the culture compared to what the culture actually is. I'm working on a series of different information that I'm going to be putting out on my YouTube page as well as my TikTok page, where I'm going to go into details about words that we can attribute to hip-hop and how hip-hop should be represented properly as well as improperly. Go ahead, brother or sister, either one of you can speak. You have anything to add?
One thing I say is that we got to stop being really hard on the women, because even though back in the day when women did have husbands, or we still was the dominant person in the home, and we brought up a lot of our sons. The reason that a lot of kids are not really growing to be what they should be is that you have to put it in its right place. It's the parents that have children and still partying, drugging, hanging out, not really putting their 100% into their children. But there's a lot of hardworking mothers out here that are trying to keep their kids afloat, and a lot of men are backing these women, but it's a big majority that's not. We need to reach out to the ones that we see is not going in the right direction, and just like speak to them, because it is causing a lot of problems with our society with the kids. You know, nowadays kids don't go to bed until 1-2 o'clock in the morning. How they go to school, I'll never know. You can't even walk down the street anymore because you get high while they're getting high. You know what I mean? You're afraid because now you don't even just get hurt by older people, young people doing dangerous stuff. I think that we need to I was just speaking to someone earlier that I think that it's time for what's going on in our schools to be changed. They should start having classes on teaching our kids what to do when they do become old enough to leave school and the real world, because we can't do it all at home. Everybody got to start adding into and letting them know what's going to go on when you get out there, because a lot of people go out there blindsided thinking that the world belongs to you, but it doesn't. You know what I mean? Even when you leave school, you got to educate yourself. It really kills you that we have libraries and bookstores and all people do is go to GameStop. You know what I mean? Or all they do is cable or get the biggest TV. You know, now the TVs are as big as your bedroom. You know what I mean? Like, all we do is it's about watching what other people want to let us know about things and putting what we need to know, educating ourselves on what we need to know, not what somebody want to tell us.
Absolutely. Absolutely, sister. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I apologize if you took it that we were being hard on the sisters, because it's more on the brothers. It's more on the brothers because it's more brothers walking away from the families than sisters. And there's more brothers, you know, that walking around making babies, like got 5 or 6 baby mothers, you know, and not taking care of none of the babies. And you absolutely spot on about, yeah, there's a generation that want to party with their children, so they're too busy partying, they're not raising the children properly. All of those things are spot on. Thing that I think we probably would be better off finding a way to do ourselves is depending on the school to teach our children correctly. It's unfortunate that we're in a society that they're not too keen on trying to give us the proper information so that our children can be equally competitive with theirs. The school system, to me, is designed to do exactly what it's doing, and that's to miseducate or undereducate our children so that they're unable to compete on the same level as other people's children unless we move to a different neighborhood and put our children in.
That's exactly right.
So this is what's happening. So those of us who are in the inner city, we have to start combining our resources, which is our greatest resource, is each other. If we can start combining ourselves and coming together, and our new marching strategy be putting our money together to make the changes that we want to make as a people. No, because marching was cool for the 60s. Right now, we need to be able to build institutions that's going to help us grow as a people.
And now, as
to
you
do
said
those
that,
things that you said, go ahead.
As you said that, you got to look at the other thing about that too, is the trust issue that we have among each other as blacks. Do we trust each other that much to do something like that? And like you said, they planned this from. Even in the 80s, when they took all them, auto shop out of school, electric, carpentry, plumbing, they took all that out of high school where kids was learning that trade to make a life out of themselves. Because look what they're paying for this stuff now, for a mechanic or a plumber and stuff like that. And then when you try to get black people to work together as a group, there's going to be a trust issue there too. You know how we always like, oh, can we trust him with this, with that? See, we got to work on that too. And I hear people in my neighborhood always talk, well, the Spanish people got this store, they got that store. Yeah, because they put their money together as a family and build that. They build that. And yeah, we don't, and it seems like we run away from that. Like if me and you had, like me and you had to open up a business, one of our friends would say, yo, man, Tommy over there, he got a house and a car, man, you living in an apartment. Yeah, I'm living in an apartment because I'm taking my money and hanging out with you guys in the street, and Tommy over there taking care of his family and putting it in the right places. See, and then all of a sudden they try to make you think, oh, well, he's doing something wrong, man. He got more money. Then you believe that, and then all of a sudden they go that job. They go your future with your partner in it. It's just like that jealousy thing, that ego thing that blacks have among each other that we got to get over that, man.
And it's really we've done it before,
right?
It's just the fact. I mean, because if you think about it, in the 70s and the early 80s, there were a lot of black owned businesses.
Yes, there were.
What happened was that when they passed it to the next generation didn't have the desire to keep it going.
Exactly.
And I also think that they, you know, took it for granted because they didn't have to put the work in to get it. And I think that's where we have to work on it at. We have to be mindful with our children that when it comes to gaining things, we have to ease up some and allow them to do more, because what happens is a lot of times I believe we enable our children and not even intentionally, because enabling is doing something for somebody that they can do for themselves.
And also what we have to do is we got to start talking to our council people and let them know that get out here and start doing something for the community. Stop having parties. Stop being all out showing yourself at parties. Start being out in the community because the people are voting for you to do something for us, but yet we only see you at parties. That's all we see you at.
And I know another thing, too. I, like you were saying, in the 70s and 80s, whatever happened to all our parents who had houses and their homes and stuff now been taken away because the kids wasn't there to maintain that?
Right. They sold them off.
Yeah, they sold them off.
Yeah.
Or they lost them.
So, right. So that's what I'm saying. So it wasn't that we haven't had it and we're not capable of doing it. It's just that we have to hold on to some of the values that we've had in the past that we were taught, that we were raised up on, and instill those same values in our children. What is happening, and I see this with my grandchildren and my children, that they want that different. They want to do stuff different. Oh, no, pop, dad, you too rough. No, I'm not rough enough, and I'm only being disciplined. I'm only giving you discipline and structure. I'm not going to continue to allow you to be mediocre when you're able to be more than that. And that's what we all have to do. We all have to start, like, even our grown children, we have to change how we deal with them. You know what I mean? Because I'm guilty of not doing all I needed to do with my children and allowing them because I had it rough in certain areas, but that rough, building that roughness and going through the struggle builds character, and it builds you to be able to hold on to things. When you give them too much, they expect, like the sister said, that life owe them something. No, life don't owe you nothing. You owe life something. You owe it to life to do the best you can to add something on, not to be a zero in life.
You got to earn that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know your birth. Oh, yes, this has been a great conversation. We're past our time, and I appreciate you, Lisa, and I appreciate you, Miles, from giving us your words of wisdom. And we look forward to next week. However, we got to, you know, call it on this show. And we end it, as always, with the prayer. I pray that all of you who are listening on these lines, that our hearts and minds grow closer towards each other and closer towards our family members, so that we will be able to move beyond our differences and focus on learning to love, forgive, and work together towards building a better world for us all. With that being said, I would like to thank you all for taking out the time of your day to spend these precious moments with us. And anything that I said that was insightful and helpful came from Allah. And anything that I said that was unclear or confusing came from me. And I ask your forgiveness. God bless you. Have a great night, a great life, and we'll see you again next Wednesday.
Keep hope alive, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.